I think that, unfortunately, there's sometimes agendas are set by other than what one might want to discuss or focus on. And I think that there's no question that although a lot of you people were away, I'm sure everybody has heard that a great tragedy occurred in this community right before Yontif. I mean, Chol HaMoed. And I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't use this opportunity to at least discuss how to deal with the issue of tragedy in the world in terms of teaching Talmidim, children, what can we do to help? It's a big issue. Right now, the schools, the last couple of days, have been, you know, desperately trying to get the right people and the right approach and the right answers to be able to help their students, elementary school. What?
I think it's a problem for adults as well.
That for adults as well, yeah. No question. No, but I'm trying to justify using this session, which is dedicated to Inyone Chinuch, to try to put it in those terms. Number one. And number two, if you mention that, sometimes the most effective way to reach an audience is by talking about somebody else. In other words, we used to call that the straw man approach. When you speak directly to people and you want to get across a certain message, there's a certain level of resistance. It's just the nature of the human. In Yiddish, there's an expression: they talk about the daughter-in-law, and they mean the mother-in-law. In other words, you don't want to start up with your mother-in-law, you know. But talk about the daughter-in-law. But in reality, there's such a thing that it gets the message gets there with a little bit less resistance. So, in that sense, you know, just talking about how we would give over such a message to our children, to our students, can be helpful even for us, and maybe even with and more helpful and with less resistance. The truth of the matter is it's probably the most difficult discussion to have. We've said at this forum many times that we as parents and machanchim have to prepare for the inevitable through developing early on a deep sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of recognition of His chesed, recognition of the purpose of His creation only being chesed, Olam chesed yibone, and recognition the extent of His chesed that exists in the entire world, and recognize the fullness of the chasodim that He has done to each and every one of us individually, and that He has done to develop and mold and preserve and grow and elevate the Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. So all of these things are prerequisites which make it a lot easier. When if we could convey the message, I think the most powerful message, and who knows if it's not the message that gave David HaMelech the ability to cope to the extent where he said Chesed u'Mishpat Oshira al Chesed Oshira al Mishpat Oshira, that he was capable of saying Hallel for Hashem's Chasodim. He was as capable to say that Hallel for the Mishpat Hashem, meaning the judgment, meaning the difficulties, meaning the pain, meaning the suffering, meaning the tragedy. And David HaMelech was capable of saying both, Chesed Oshira, Val Mishpat Oshira. In Halacha, it's only incorporated that al chesed we say atoiva meitiv, and al mishpat we say boruch dayan emes. We can't reach that level of saying atoiva meitiv, or to be a shira, say shira on mishpat. But on mishpat we could say dayan emes. I know that you're the true judge. I know that you know what you're doing. We're not in the singing mood right now. We can't sing about it, but we can live with it and appreciate it and recognize that you know what you're doing. And who knows, if he wasn't capable of reaching this level, because he said, as the Targum says, the Pshat Mo Shiv LaHashem Kol Tagmulohi Yoloi, that the Targum learns differently from the Meforshim and says Kol Tagmulohi, meaning all the Gmul that he has, that Hashem has to give in his world, he gave it to me. David HaMelech was able to feel as if the chasodim that Hashem did for me was so intense, was so deep, was so expansive, was so phenomenal, that I have this hargosha as if he bestowed upon me all the chesed that exists. Which obviously is not true. It's just the hargosha. It's a level of appreciation. And who knows, if it wasn't this prerequisite, this prior level of appreciation that enabled him to reach this level of saying chesed or mishpat or shira, that to me, I'm so confident in Hashem's chesed. I have such a deep appreciation of Hashem's chesed. I feel so the beneficiary of all of Hashem's chesed that exists in this world. Memele, when it comes to mishpat, I can't help but realizing that that's also chesed. And that's also oshira. It's, of course, for us, way above our practical goals in life. But it's something that, to the degree that we can appreciate the extent of Hashem's chesed, it's to that degree that we can develop the ability to cope. To the degree that we can develop trust in Hashem in our lives, we're melumed in bitochen. We've been nurtured in bitochen. We know to put our trust in Hashem. When we have a problem, we turn to Hashem. When things are getting overwhelming, we don't give up hope. We're not miyayish. We're kavi el Hashem chazak ve'ameitz libecho. We're yachel Yisrael el Hashem. We're lecho Hashem chikinu kivinu. And this is the way we live. Memela, when it comes to a point that tragedy strikes, and we have to now develop a new type of bitochen, a bitochen that says, I trust, Boruch Dayan Emes, I trust that you're doing what's right. I trust that you know what you're doing. I trust that you're total in control, and that according to your deeper, broader, infinite understanding, this is what has had to happen. This is what should have happened. This is what did happen. This is what you orchestrated it to happen. Which is true, even though people have bechira, just like Reb Chaim used to say, no, every bullet has an address. I'm sure every racing car and every fire and every mishugana drunk or drugged up person also only has an address, because nothing happens by accident. And we're able to develop a new sense of trust because of the experience of the trust that we had until now. And this trust says, I don't get it. Don't make no sense. For the life of me, I can't understand it. I don't think I ever will. I even wonder if, they say there was a Chassidish Rebbe that in the Holocaust, they asked him, why all these things happen? And his answer was, I learned a long time ago, I don't ask Hashem why. Because I'm afraid that if I ask him why, he'll say, come on upstairs, and I'll be happy to show it to you, explain it to you. You'll see the beautiful needlepoint, the panorama that goes from the beginning of time to eternity. And down here, all you see is the disheveled strings hanging down. He says, and he'll say, come on up and I'll show it to you. And I'm not quite ready to go. But Lemaisa, I wonder, I mean, I don't know if it's even nice to say, but I wonder if he even explained it to me, even up there, if he'd explain it to me, if I'd understand it. It may be beyond anything that we're capable of understanding. But at least I know, Dayan HaEmes, at least I know, I trust. And once I've developed a trust in you in the past, then when something like this strikes, a different format of that trust comes out, that I trust you know what you're doing. I trust you do for the good. I trust you have a good cheshbon. But that doesn't really take away the pain. It makes it a little bit more bearable, and certainly the pre-work is very important, and therefore I think that that pre-work, that doesn't mean that we have to talk to little kids about tzaddik v'raloi and why there is righteous people that suffer, but it does mean that we have to prep them and prepare them with the sense of chesed Hashem and the sense of trust in Hashem, so that bishas, rachmana litzlan, that they are confronted or exposed or even hear about such levels of tragedy, that at least they can access that sense of bitochen that I had and transpose it to a trust that I trust you, Hashem. Dayano emes. I trust you, Hashem, that Hatsur Tomim Po'olo ki kol roch of Mishpot Kel Emuna ve'ein ovel. Emuna ve'ein ovel. Of course there's no ovel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. If what you did, even though it had to be, and any impact that it had on anybody else also is what had to be. All the extended suffering, all the
ripple effect.
What?
Ripple effect.
Ripple effect, but there's a fancy word. Collateral damage. That's the word I was looking for. All the collateral damage is also part of that system, of that ein ovel. There's ein ovel. There's no ovel. Collateral damage is not accidental. It's collateral, whatever that means. But it's not accidental. It's keil eino tzadik v'yosherhu. And this, this is what we have to. We have to be able to at least access when we have those thoughts, those concepts. It makes it a little bit easier to access. But the etzim, the thing itself is overwhelming. And there's no question about it that when tragedy strikes, if we begin by explaining it away, we have we've made a terrible mistake, first of all, because it shows a certain level of insensitivity. First, we have to internalize the pain. First, we have to empathize with the pain. First, we have to really feel that pain, and people have to see. I tell people, I mention it all the time, that I sat Shiva many years ago in Yerushalayim, many, many years ago, and Mamish Gedele Yerushalayim came to me, Menachem Olam. And I don't remember what anybody said. I don't remember too much from that whole experience. But one thing I remember, right in the corner over there, sat Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. 20 minutes he sat crying like a baby, got up, Amokim Yenachim, and then he left. And to me, that was an image that I'll never forget, never forget. And it was the greatest source of Nechoma. Because somebody felt your pain. Somebody really empathized. Like, I'm telling you, crying. That's not wiping little crocodile tears or real tears or something from his eyes. But crying like a baby. Crying. 20 minutes set. And so we have to, that has to be the first. People have to see that you truly feel their pain. But at some point, both for ourselves and for others, we do have to be able to, with taste, and sometimes it's not our position, we have to leave it for other people. The best people who can express the most consolation are those people who can truly feel the pain of what you went through. I know I was extremely appreciative when I sat Shiva for my wife, that the first morning, Mamish, the first morning, Rebellia Brudny walked in there. He had lost his wife a while before. And another two or three people in that matzav also. And the very fact that they came, I don't even know if they had anything special to say. But just the fact that someone who can feel what you're going through, who can feel, not because he presents credentials and not because he claims he feels, and very few people can sit and cry like Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, but just because he knows, he went through the same thing himself. So if there is a nechoma to be given, it's certainly best from those that have experienced similar, or sometimes even, there's nothing identical, of course, but, the more identical it is, the more similar it is, the more credibility you have to be able to to give nechoma to someone because they know that you know and you feel to a great extent what they've been going through, and that's something that's a very very big cause of nechoma. I think there are a number of other things that that we have to keep in mind too, in order to find and inspire. Again, you know, not when the wound is so fresh, maybe, but at some point. And one of those things is that this world is part of a continuum. If we look at this world as day one to day 120, not day 120, Chalila, day one to year 120, that's the extent of it. And, you know, Kigos Chish Vana Ufa, it's hard to cope with anything. Like, come on, you know. What? Who? Where? When? It's so miserable. It's, you know, and then all the other misery that also comes along, it makes it a pretty miserable existence. And that's probably why so many people are depressed. But if it's part of a continuum, the neshama is a piece, a chelek elikam imal, and it lives forever. That means that there is no end. There's an end to this material, this physical existence, but it goes on forever, and it's part of one long continuum. It starts here, we get prepared over here, we hayoim la soysom, umocha la kabel schorom, prepare yourself in this hallway, so you should be able to enter the eternity. But the realization that it's eternity, so it isn't over. It's part of a whole continuum, is the best word that I have for it. It's part of a whole thing, number one. Number two, the loss of the pain, loss of relationship is very, very painful. But the realization that the person themselves that went through this tragedy, what they did lose the, I hate to say it, it sounds so callous, but almost the additional, let's say, I was going to say secondary, but the additional relationships in their life, but the core relationship between my neshama and my creator and its creator, which is an eternal relationship, which goes on forever and ever, the only eternal relationship, the relationship that I was engaged in through my lifetime, in the deepest relationship, because bishas maisa, that I was engaged in it, I was engaged in an eternal relationship, in a relationship that has no end, that goes on forever. So that person is like, you know, they're in a higher level, they're in a better place. The mourners are the ones that are left here to suffer the consequences, to suffer the loss, to suffer the pain. But about them, we don't worry. And this is something you can't tell a person. But for a person themselves, when they realize that the person who passes on is in a much better situation, as bizarre as that may sound, then my pain becomes selfish. And sometimes that selfish motivation can say, hey, I don't want to be selfish. And it gives me a motivation to rise above it and to say, you know, I have to cope with this because they're really doing good. You know, initially we think it's about them. Don't worry about them. They're doing fine. They're doing fine. And when tragic things happen, the level of kapora, I'm sure it's a kapora for a whole generation, for a whole community at least, for who knows, families and communities. And so we shouldn't worry about them. We're the ones that are suffering, but that also helps mitigate the pain when we... for families, there's another thing that has to be kept in mind, and at some point in our chinuch system, it should be understood. There's a very serious... guilt complex, guilty feeling that sets in amongst the people who lost a loved one. And they sometimes feel, well, I'm suffering. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch says the whole idea of Avelus is to accentuate the suffering so as to be ma'irami, to do tshuva. Why am I suffering? If that's the case, I have to do tshuva. Many people mistake that and think that that means that I, my sins, are responsible for what happened. It's very illogical. It's very ridiculous. It's absurd. But a person has to make sure to not let that happen. What happens to a person is the cheshbon between the Rabbeinu Shalom and that person and that neshama, besides the fact that it's kuloi toiv and it's really mishpot ashira, except we're not on the level. We can only say dayan emes. But besides that, I have nothing to do with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of delivering whatever I need to get in terms of pain without affecting anyone else. And I have to, it's a tendency, and even if it's not conscious, it's subconscious. People tend to blame themselves. Well, this, that, I could have done this, I could have done that. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. This is the way it was supposed to be. And I am, you know, I'm not to be held responsible for this. Even if I am guilty, and therefore I have to receive the pain that I'm receiving. I think that's also, it's a side point, but it's a, I think it's an important piece of psychology. I think there's another point which also is very, very significant in the process of nechoma, of finding nechoma, and that is what the Sipurnu says. Shiva used to speak about that. When the Pasuk says, Boni matem la'ashem alekeichem, lo'isiskoydedu v'chule. So the Sipurno seems to be bothered by the connection between Boni matem, your children to Hashem, don't do these heathen mourning practices. These absurd, used to pull out their skin and their hair, whatever they did. So the Sipurno says, he says that even though you lost a loved one, and suffered such a tragedy, boni matem la'ashem alekeichem, you have a relationship which is even closer, even more precious, and that's the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be the ultimate source of strength. If a person can access that loving relationship, you know, I hate to say it because everybody, you know, ridicules me and says everything boils down to Shir Hashirim and Bitochen, you know, like those are the two things. But I can't help it. But Lamaisa, if a person can access that loving relationship which exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shleima Melech was made, that continues to exist, despite the fact that I don't act appropriately with him, despite the fact that he is behester upon him and I can't see him and I don't see sometimes his active involvement. But knowing that boni matem la'ashem alekeichem, that love is there, that can console. It can compensate for loss. It can uplift a person. It can be a source of strength and confidence that, you know, listen, he loves me, and he loved the other one was also boni la'ashem alekeichem. So all around, I start to feel that. You feel Hashem's love, then questions we will always have. And the questions were, it seems, first asked by Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoydieni no estrochecho, the Gemara's mashma, that's what he was referring to. Yirmiyahu Hanavi said, Madua derech reshoim tzlecho. Chazal and Pirkei Avos said, "Ein bi odeinu loymi shalvas hatzadikim, loymi shalvas harishoyim, loymi yisurei hatzadikim." We don't get it. We don't understand it. I guess we can't really understand it, but we can find the strength to go on in the depth of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that there's one more nekuda, and the hour is late, and that is that we have to realize that all questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu are emotional questions. Intellectually, it isn't recommended to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu in intellectual arguments. You could beseech him with arguments, but to intellectually. I don't get it. You know, why do you do this? I mean, what? Hey, Sonny boy, you think if I explained it to you, you'd know what I'm talking about? It's no kasha. There's no kasha. It's emotional. It's emotional. Madua derech reshoim tzlecha doesn't necessarily mean I want to know the why behind it. I just can't bear it. But part of the emotion is to have some level of understanding. So I believe, and this we don't have time for, but I believe two things. That number one, if we realize that it's emotional, then we know it has to be soothed with emotional soothing. It seems from the Sipur Nulahagid Ki Yosha Hashem Tzuri that even seeing good people and goodness in the world, and tzaddikim or yenuvim b'seva d'sheinim v'ananim yiyu, the way that they are moisa nefesh to do mitzvahs even in their old age, that's lahagid ki yosher Hashem tzuri v'lo'ev losav. That seems to be the, it's not an intellectual answer, but the emotional answer, because it makes me feel better, have more confidence in what's going on. So that's, I think, one thing that's emotional. And I think the realization that it's emotional is critical. And sometimes, and this is certainly not for now, sometimes it's healthy for a person to recognize or realize that there could be a scenario. I could understand it. You know, and when it comes to young people passing away, children for sure, that is says in Sforim, but even adults, you know, everybody has a mission in this world. And there's a medrash, I think, that says that some people accomplish their mission in a shorter period of time. And there's no point in being in this olam hasheker, in this olam hatzimtzum, and being this olam this painful, fleeting world. And they're whisked off to an eternity, which for them is not shaykh. And sometimes there's an neshama that had to come back to this world to fulfill its mission, and then had to leave, and it was preordained. This is the way it had to be. And if we have these abilities, then intellectually, we don't know. We don't know. The answer is ein biyodeinu loy mi shalvas harishoyim veloy mi yisuri atzadikim. But the realization that this possibility, this, you know, there is such a thing, these things happen, and this sometimes makes it easier emotionally to cope. When at least intellectually I can soothe my intellectual curiosity with a possibility. Fully knowledgeable that I don't know, but a possibility. That sometimes can make all the difference. But it's a very, very difficult parsha, and also have to be mispalel. We ask the Hamokim Yenachem Eschem, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Nechoma, because Pashtus, they say, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Nechoma from tragic situations. And we have to be mispal for that Nechoma, for those of us that are affected indirectly, certainly for those that are affected directly. We should be zeicha that we shouldn't need Nechomas anymore.